Expect to attend tonight are here, which is good. We have one excused absence tonight. So let's begin as we so often do with introductions, and I guess we'll talk with, well, start with Sergeant Ray, who is identified as Paul Dickinson on her sign, so, but.
I am Sergeant Julie Ray, Columbia Police Department. I'm filling in for AC Dickinson tonight.
Denise?
Denise Flazek, member of the board.
Stephanie Coleman, board member.
Harry Castillo, board member.
Reese Ellis, board member.
Doug Hunt, board chair.
Steve Jeffrey, board vice chair.
Jamie Thornsberry, board member.
Xavier Scruggs, board member.
Rose Whipmeyer, law department.
Stacy Weideman, filling in for Matt Unrein.
Good. We'll move along. We've got a couple of items that might require considerable discussion, so let's begin by approval of the agenda. Does anybody have any alterations to the agenda? Should we have a motion to adopt the agenda as written?
Make a motion.
I'll second. Coleman.
So it's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. And then on to the draft minutes for the open session. First, I think we've all got an opportunity to look at them. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the open session?
I would so move that.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the open session. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And we move on to draft minutes of the closed session. Once again, I think we've had an opportunity to look. I saw no difficulty. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the closed session?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to adopt the, to approve the minutes of the closed session. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Vote. All right. We'll do old business, and we're going to have, I think, some real serious business to do here. We'll move right through in the order that we have things done. Now, Rose, correct me if I'm wrong. The changes that we're talking about to Code Section 2152H were the things that we were talking about, the timeline for the chief to respond should our board come to a different determination than she did, and what we were doing was freezing out that, not avoiding that sort of pocket veto, accidentally even pocket veto, but that only allowed the chief 5 days, and this allows her to ask for an extension if it can be fit within the absolute parameters that are set by the state law, and that's in effect a decision that needs to be made by the city manager. Can it be fit in? And my understanding, it was on the consent agenda for the city council meeting. I stayed long enough to see that nobody challenged it being on the consent agenda, and so it was adopted when the consent agenda was adopted and now becomes. Is that where we are on it, Rose?
Correct. It's actually in the code. You can show, like, if you look up in the code, and you mark show changes at the top, it'll show up there with a link to the official ordinance.
So that was a you know, so interesting how often we're doing some small thing that, from, you know, people who are looking at the great big picture, doesn't seem important. That actually could be very important in some cases. So I was pleased to see that we got it approved. This is a free for all, so to speak. Productive outreach efforts. We are always discussing whether we have plans for productive outreach efforts. I will again look at Rose and say that one of the things we had talked about was getting brochures and cards printed. I think Rose was saying, let's not run a big run on these because our circumstances may change because of the next item in the agenda. Is there any update on where we are on that? We have the design and everything. But
we have the design based on the current ordinance. So with the state law, if it actually, or the bill, if it becomes law, it'll require a redesign.
Right.
I have gotten some quotes for the print job, and they have a contact, and it won't be that expensive. I think altogether it was between $120-$130 for the amount that you all had requested. So I think it's just a matter of, unless you have an event you know you're going to and you know you need some, then in which case let me know and I can order a small amount. But otherwise, I think it's a question of if the governor's going to sign that bill or not.
And I guess the caution that we've got here is, should we run these and hand them out, they may be leading to an outdated version of what's going on. Now, we can update on some of the websites that are referred to, but it seems a little, you know, to broadcast widely something that may not be correct after, should this new law be adopted. So anyway, there's that piece. Is there anything else anybody wants to add about outreach efforts that they have either been participating in or are recommending that we participate in? Like everything else that weighs heavily on the next item on the agenda.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to turn this over to Reese, who's in the best position to explain to us where we are on the pending legislation. We can examine wording at some point if we need to, but why don't you tell us what you think, where you think we are on this? And
sure. So, as you all know, legislative session ended mid-May. I want to say, what was that, May 17th? One of these Fridays in May. And the legislation that we'd been discussing, Senate Bill 754, was truly agreed and finally passed. And so it was delivered to the governor. It's awaiting signature. On the day that it was passed, because there was a House version that did not pass, because as you may know, the Senate decided to adjourn without taking up any new House bills. So the only bill that we were dealing with was the Senate one. And David Tyson Smith attempted to amend it to remove Columbia or Boone County from the legislation. Because the Senate had adjourned, if he had done that, the bill would have died. And because there were so many other, you know, moving pieces in the bill, talking about, you know, Blair's Law, Valentine's Law, some criminal justice reform pieces. You know, there was not an appetite to amend the bill and kill the bill for the session. He did get a very loose commitment on the floor from Lane Roberts, who is responsible for a lot of the criminal justice legislation that arises in the House, to look at it next year to see if there's a fix that can be made. But, you know, that is all entirely dependent on, you know, who our next governor is, you know, who our next speaker is, who he decides to put on the committees, and so on and so forth. So for all intents and purposes, you know, if the governor signs this bill, this may be the state of how things operate for the foreseeable future. And so the issue that, you know, of course, that we had, if I can pull it up. So just give me one moment here.
I've got it here, Reese.
Oh, you've got it.
If the wording is what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it of course makes a description of, you know, what is a board. Of course, you know, each city and county, you know, may establish civilian review board, so on and so forth. But the changes that come into being are, they limit the types of reviews that we are able to investigate, to excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, or use of offensive language. And the language in that bill that limits us to that, it says that only the power specifically granted herein are authorized, and any and all authority granted to future or existing boards, divisions, or entities outside the scope of the powers listed herein are expressly preempted and void as a matter of law. In addition to that, it's where is it there? There's some solely limiting language. We are solely limited to investigate those four types of complaints. And so, you know, I have tried to do my due diligence. You know, I've reached out to the policy review team at the governor's office. I have spoken to local government officials in St. Louis County who are more than likely to be more affected by this legislation than we are, because the St. Louis County, you know, police department, the largest police department in our state, is governed by a civilian oversight entity. So, you know, that is something that they're going to have to deal with. But, you know, that, and I've tried to get, you know, some clarification from the author, the state senator, Tony Lukdemeyer. I've tried to get some interest from different folks in the, you know, institutions that, you know, cover the legislature. But, you know, as far as I've seen over the last 2 years, there's just really been two passing mentions of this piece from Spectrum News a couple weeks ago, and then from the St. Louis NPR incorrectly describing what the legislation does. Mm. So it appears to me that there's not an interest, or perhaps, you know, there's a reasoning that because of what else is in the bill, it's not worth nitpicking the civilian oversight. I would disagree with that, of course. But the governor will sign or not sign probably by the end of the month, because that's when he typically does the budget bills. And so we'll know in July, I would expect, you know, what things will look like in August, because if memory serves, the bills become enacted, you know, in the signature in August. So our August meeting may look different.
And becomes effective immediately on the governor's signature, or is there a...
So there wasn't an emergency clause, so it wouldn't be immediate on the signature, but it would certainly be by August. So that is where things are. And so, you know, that complicates things on some of the programs and initiatives that we try to do in terms of auditing and, you know, other things, of course. But I think, you know, it's now incumbent on us to kind of figure out how to go forward with the city, if there is a way to go forward, because we will be limited if the governor chooses to sign the bill, which I think he will sign the bill, because the reason he didn't sign it last year, he made pretty explicit in his veto language, and the legislature listened and took out the one reason he said he vetoed the bill. And so I would expect him to sign it.
Yeah,
no problem.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you for letting
Nicely reviewed. Yeah. Now, we have a tangle of, you know, the sort of language that comes out of a legislature here, but let's, I think, try to review where this leaves us. Remembering that our present process is not an investigatory process of the complaints itself, but an appeals process. So that's the rules that we're presently operating under. We wouldn't be, the complaints wouldn't be coming to us as we're presently constituted. So the only thing we would be empowered to do, and that language is very important, only the powers specifically granted herein are authorized, and any and all authority granted to future existing boards, divisions, and entities outside the scope of the powers listed herein are expressly preempted and void. The only thing, as I understand it, that we would be able to do is hear appeals that have to do with excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, and offensive language as it stands.
Yes.
It may even be, and I've been talking with Rose about this, and, you know, it's a complicated legal issue, I think. It may even be that we can't have regular board meetings. We can only meet if there's an appeal. Mm-hmm. It may be that we cannot have public information sessions where we get input from the public. It may be that we cannot make recommendations about changes in policies and procedures to the department or the city council. I mean, this is a very, very substantial and sort of hamstringing bit of legislation as we're presently constituted.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that in many respects, the most important business we've got to launch ourselves on right now is what do we do? Do you want to add anything from your perspective, Rose? Because you thought about it harder than... Oh. You want to add anything?
We are now looking at what the impacts would be with the current model and what changes would be needed to the code. So assuming this becomes law, the law department will draft the changes that are needed to the code with the current model. If the city council decides to change the model, then we would basically rewrite that article to correspond with state law, but what potentially will be state law. Either way, you're still looking at not all of the types of complaints you've seen in the past.
One of the things that when you enter into a new enterprise, you discover that there is a language that gets used. When people talk about change the model, I think what we're talking about here is right now we are an appeals-driven model, not a complaint-driven model. So I think what you're saying is there's the possibility of going to a complaint-driven model where the complaints would come to the review board?
Only certain complaints.
Only in those four categories.
Right.
Exactly.
So the state law is written in such a way that it could be a complaint-based model, an investigative-based model, but it would still be limited to those types of complaints listed. So the excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, or use of offensive language, which would mean, in effect, that somehow the public would have to, if the model changed, somehow the public would have to be educated that these four categories of complaints you file with the review board, all these other complaints you file with the police department, or something like that. Or maybe the city would set up an office. I think at this point we have to go with what the city council previously told us, which is they wanted the appeals model. So unless the council changes their mind and wants us to shift to another model, we will draft the changes to the code based upon the appeals model, limiting the types of appeals. And then there are other duties that would be removed. I mean, basically, you all would function kind of like how the personnel advisory board functions, where they get called upon when there's a case, and you'd meet when there is a case. To provide them the recommendations. But so a lot of these other things that are in the code that they've allowed you to do or given, as your duties, like the audits, recommendations on police policies and training and procedures, your public outreach and educational events, all that stuff would go away. So then it's just under either model, that goes away under either model. The only thing that a model change would do is right now you're appeals based. You could potentially have a model change which would then make a complaint based civilian oversight, but that would take a lot of fleshing out as to what exactly that would work and how that staffing would work, because that would be a much more significant change.
I have a question to that. So, and I know, I mean, it's we don't know what's going to happen, but if you're talking about having, like, if we had a model change to like an investigative model, is that talking like it would give us the powers of more power or still be based on our opinions as a board just presenting like what we do now?
With the investigative based model, the complaints in those four categories would in theory be filed with you all or your staff person, and then you all would conduct your investigation and provide recommendations to the chief prior to the chief's preliminary determination. There wouldn't be it would basically be you'd provide your recommendations to the chief would make their determination. Gotcha. And then they wouldn't appeal to you. The next step of appeal in theory would be the city manager. Okay, so it would completely reformat everything. And so right now, complaints are filed with either the city clerk or the police department. And then the police department does their investigation. The chief makes her preliminary determination. And then somebody can file an appeal with you all. So it's very different procedurally. And then the other thing that's very different is the volume. So not that many people file an appeal. There are significantly more people who file complaints. Now, this would still restrict the type of complaint, so you wouldn't get the full volume. Like, if you look back at the old internal affairs reports as to how many complaints coming in, those would still be parsed down, so you wouldn't necessarily have the same amount of volume, but it would be significantly more volume if it's an investigative complaint-based system than you do with appeals. And so that's really why that decision is really a council decision, because that's an allocation of resources.
Allocation of resources because in many respects, we're taking over what internal affairs in the department has doing.
And as a
group of citizens with limited amount of time to do that, you know, we clearly are going to have a staff, some staff help of a qualified person to actually be. I don't know how else it could be done. The other thing that has occurred to me strongly over the last 24 hours about the way the legislation is written. I'm going to look at this sentence again. The board shall have the board division or other such entity shall have the power limited to receiving, investigating, making findings, and recommending disciplinary action upon complaints by members of the public against members of the police department that allege misconduct involving excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, or offensive language. Now, I want to play a scenario through for you. If when a citizen goes to look at what a complaint form looks like, and said, would you like to check one of these boxes? Do you see this as the result of excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, or offensive language? And they check the box. Then does that make it fall under our investigatory power? And if so, potentially every complaint against the police department, they might check one of those boxes. Who is to determine whether this involves excessive force or discourtesy, if not the complaining citizen, because there's no other agency to intervene?
Yeah, currently, it's the Internal Affairs Office.
Currently, it's the Internal Affairs Office that makes that determination. So we're in a really interesting situation here.
Yeah.
You know, even if we stick with the appeals-based model, are we saying on either the complaint or the appeal, if the citizen checks one of these boxes, then it falls under our authority? I think that question really needs to be investigated. Who determines that it falls into one of these categories? It doesn't refer to particular parts of our policy and procedure manual. It doesn't, you know, it's pretty general language. And I really wonder how to think about that, Rose. I mean, who does determine whether this, if the citizen asserts that this was abuse of authority on the officer's part, which may not be an uncommon thing to do, does that make it an abuse of authority thing that falls under our venue?
Allegation,
right.
Of that, then I think of any of those categories, then it would fall.
Okay. So, and it would be the citizens deciding that that's what the allegation is about.
Assuming it was made easy with checkboxes and they knew that, or they learned what the magic words were.
Right.
I don't know that, like when I was looking at our code, there's the whole section on jurisdictional review that we created so that if the police determine something isn't misconduct and then it's appealed, then it's for jurisdictional review so that the board could decide whether or not it was, you know, was the chief right in their determination that this was or was not an allegation of misconduct.
Yeah, there is that.
Okay.
There is
but
that if we stay, if we stay right with the appeals-based model.
There right. is that right now. However, the problem with keeping that at, if this bill becomes law, is that you're still not allowed to see those things that aren't within those four categories. So somehow that would have to be screened and you would only get those things in those four categories. Now, I think on the appeal-based model, you all control the appeal form. So we could easily put the four boxes and then another box that says other or something like that, or if you wanted to add more boxes to clarify what goes through the board and what doesn't, that could be done on the appeal-based model.
Yeah.
The complaint form is
police department form. So, you know, you could ask the police department, could they please include those boxes, which maybe they would like, because then it'd be clear for everybody. But if they chose not to, then it's really a matter of the public who's complaining, explaining their complaint in a way where it clearly falls within one of those categories.
Right, right. Again, assuming no model change. And I think the question of not being staffed up or having the time or expertise to make the model change is daunting to me at any rate.
There's you know, these are questions I tried to broach with the people who wrote the legislation, but here we are. So,
I have a question. Would it be appropriate if the board recommends something to City Council about what to do about the legislation?
Can pass a motion to send a report to Council.
Would the board be open to doing that?
I actually think it would be a good idea.
We'd have to.
Yeah. City council people have a lot on their plate, and to work their way through another complicated issue without some input is difficult. Now let's think about timeliness, so to speak. In a way, it's silly to take something to the city council until we see that the legislation is going to be signed by the governor.
I was going
to
say.
But time, on the other hand, is relatively short. Tomorrow I turn 75. My brain,
Happy early birthday. My
memory does not work. You gave us the schedule. It appears to me that if we are going to be timely in terms of stating what we want, it might be that at the next meeting we have to have on the agenda, let's try to get some language down.
Try to brainstorm because at least.
By the August meeting, going to be in effect.
Yes.
Right.
Whatever it looks like.
Whatever it looks like.
I believe it's the end of August when state statutes. I'm thinking
August
28th.
Even better. So by the September meeting. But probably.
By the September meeting, we would
be in effect.
Hamstrung and would not be able to discuss it, as I understand it.
Yes.
So we really have to use our July and August meeting. I'm thinking about what you're saying, Xavier, that if we're going to make a recommendation, we need to get on it. What I can't think my way through is putting myself in the seats of the city council people and the staff who's going to make recommendations to the city council people. How early do we have to get something to them for them to be able to consider it? You know, we got on the one hand, it seems premature if we don't know that the legislation is going to pass. But on the other hand, once the signature goes on, we don't have much time to act. So does anybody have an insight on when we would be sending such a memo? We'll think of it that way.
If the governor signs, usually when did?
June 30th or so.
Okay, we would know by the July meeting whether he's signed or not, and then that gives us that time, that July and August, to get it all in.
Excellent.
And ideally, you should shoot for July.
Yeah.
Because realistically, you would have to pass your motion, then the report would have to get on a council agenda, and that would be then pushing into August for the council to get your report. And if you waited till August, that would push into September more than likely, just because of how the council deadlines work for the agendas.
So that sounds like shooting for July for a resolution that we can pass. That might mean, in terms of getting our work done, that we want to be able to look at some draft wording in the June meeting to adopt in the July meetings. Does that sound like the sort of schedule that we might be on here?
Like today, coming up with the language?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah.
Wow.
Or if you want, you could all send your ideas to me. I can compile them. And then on the July agenda, I can have a link with all the ideas. And then, you know, you can draft your motions that you're going to make from there.
That sounds reasonable.
That sounds reasonable. It sounds like not only the only thing to do, but a productive thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, given the complexity of what we're talking about here, to be able to see in writing what we might be proposing will be
got a hard wall.
A tremendous advantage. And as my understanding with regard, and again, we want to be careful to respect sunshine law rules and everything like that. My understanding is we can't be meeting to make any decisions, but we can be circulating through rows. Here's my individual thoughts. Here's my individual thoughts. And it can be then compiled and brought to the meeting. So I don't know that it requires any motion or anything like that. Is that our feeling about what our procedure will be then?
I would recommend that you shoot for in your head the two-week mark. You know, the next 2 weeks, think about what it is you individually want, and so that you'll send it to me about 2 weeks before the meeting, and I can send it out to you all, right, you know, the next day or something, and that will give you 2 weeks to kind of flush through, again, everyone's ideas. I think that would probably be a good...
I was trying to find a copy of that in my email, but I'm not finding it. I'm sure it's there, but can that be resent out to us, maybe?
The new language?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
So the next 2 weeks, I think that's doable.
Yeah, and we'll do it.
So we can. Just
I'll save some of my comments for when we're doing comments at the end. But yes.
What I will do is I will send a reminder email with the Senate bill so that also Steph knows, and that will kind of give you it's a soft deadline, but a soft deadline of when you want to have the initial ideas come in, and then I'll send them all out to you all, and if you want me to attach that list to the next agenda, I can, or if you want to call from there and I attach a different list, I can as well.
Okay, and Reese, as you're our best eyes on what actually happens and passes over the governor's desk.
Oh, I plan to be at the bill signing if he signs it in the Capitol.
Okay, and then we'll know where we are. Okay, any other? Is that as much as we can productively get done now, or do people have other observations they want to make before we start struggling individually with this?
Before we start, I'm already struggling individually. Trying to figure out what I would want to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, when everybody gets a chance to look at the language, I think most people probably have had looked at some version of the language. Things may come up, but that, again, in the exchange of information that we can do about our comments, about what we'd like to see done, if something needs to be clarified, it can probably be clarified at that point. All right, are we ready to move on from that very important question?
I will just add that if, as you're looking at it and you're thinking through your individual ideas, if you have legal questions about what does this mean, could we still do this some sort of way? Give me a call, or just tell me when, you know, you want me to call you, kind of thing.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, thank you. Okay. I see that the next item under old business is audits of the 2023 complaints and status updates. Again, I want to make sure that my memory of where we are on this is correct. We sort of declared the audit season underway, but then we received some appeals that we realized that we needed to address fairly quickly. And then we also realized that the appeals that we would be hearing would be good rehearsal for the categories that we were considering focusing on in our audits. So in a sense, we're a little bit... we're really kind of kicking off the audit season in some ways now. The discussion of which categories we're going to be looking at, which individuals are interested in looking at what categories and whatnot. When I was thinking about the process of that discussion, I realized that in addition to the sheer number of complaints in a given category, individual board members may have strong feelings about, on the basis of what they've seen in doing appeals or previous audits, what sort of complaints they would be most interested in looking at. And since that involves alluding, at least, to things that we've seen in confidence, I'm thinking that we might actually discuss who's looking at what sorts of complaints in closed session so people can express their views on there, if that makes sense to people. But we really need to get started and get done everything we can get done in the time that's allowed to us. It also occurred to me, and this is another reason that I'm thinking we might not automatically stick with the numerically heaviest category. If we look at things that we might not be able to look at in the future, maybe they become higher priorities in terms of doing audits now. So there's a real discussion to happen there. But again, I would be a little more comfortable, because it has to do with people's concrete experience at looking at cases before, if we made our choices of what we would like to be looking at in the closed session, if that suits other members of the board. If there's a problem with that, I'm certainly willing to consider it. But we will be going into closed session today, so it would be possible to do it there.
If the governor signs that bill, so we're going to go ahead and do it for a month?
I guess what I'm thinking, and I can see how unheavenly this situation is, auditing takes a long time. And it may be that we come up with people are looking at, I want to look at this sort of complaint, and there are 12 such complaints on the plate, so to speak. And realistically, we might be able, in the 1 month, to get through the first three and no more, you know? But I'm just thinking that, get where we can. we may not be able to do the sort of complete audit we want to if we get foreclosed on, but it seems a pity not to do what we can do in the time we can do it, yeah.
Assuming there's no future change to state law, and then change to our ability. Yeah.
Right. Does that suit? All right, new business. We always on new business, we have a review of police policies, because that's sort of the business that we're in. But I don't know that we have a particular policy that we're looking at tonight, as far as I know.
I think this was, the board was going to discuss which ones to look at.
Yeah. I confess, I'm not coming very well prepared to decide which policies we should be looking at.
Well, I think we have some, since we're going to have homework and other stuff, maybe it's best to just wait on that.
Fair enough. We do have a couple things that are time sensitive.
Yes, we do. I think, once again, because of the heavy weight of the possible passage of this law, new ideas for the next work session is
off the table.
I don't see how we can have a very productive discussion of that. I don't know, and this will be kind of a question for you, Julie. I think if Paul were here, he would be giving us an update on the status of technology exploration, I think having to do with body-worn cameras that might be used. Are you able to do that, or is that pretty much?
I'm not. I have no idea what he's been working on. I'm sorry.
I'll review for the sake of members of the public who are here, and just so we can talk that in a previous meeting, we had a pretty good discussion about the possibility of using new technology, for instance, that would activate body-worn cameras whenever an officer got out of a vehicle, instead of depending on the button being pushed. And we had also talked about how long body-worn camera videos should be retained.
The cost of storage and so on.
And the cost of storage and things like that. I felt there was a strong consensus it would be great to make both of those changes. But you can't jump on that without seeing what the cost is going to be. And so I think Paul was going to be investigating that and finding out what he could find out and perhaps make as a recommendation to City Council. But I don't think we can really update it because we don't have Paul here to say what he's found.
No, and I'll leave a note for him, and maybe he can send you something before your next meeting.
Items for next month's agenda, we clearly have one, right? We are definitely going to go into the question of our response to the Senate bill. Other items that people can see that are necessary for next month's agenda?
You want me to read the list I have so far?
Yes.
Audit of 2023 complaints status update, productive outreach efforts, report on status of technology exploration, good. Assistant Chief Dickinson, update on pending state legislation and the board's recommendations on SB 754's impact, and then items for next month's agenda.
That sounds good to me. Sounds
pretty. Oh, and we also have the reports of Human Rights Commission, Positive Connections, Training, Outreach, and Ride-alongs.
Well, of course.
Yes. All right. All right. We will not be having a report from the Human Rights Commission, I'm fairly certain, tonight, unless somebody has one in their pocket that is written up and brought in. Anybody want to make any comments on their own report on Positive Connections training ride-alongs?
I did do a ride-along on last Thursday from noon to 4 o'clock. So it was a good experience with Officer Tony
Parker.
Mm-hmm. All right. You want to elaborate at all, Xavier? I mean, when you say it was a good experience,
Yeah, it was. I mean, we did a lot. There was a lot going on. I'm not like other board members. I know some of you went at night. I was not that brave, so I wanted to go in the daytime. But no, it was good. So.
Yeah. All right. I don't think I have much else. I had considered talking about to the NCCA, North Central Columbia Neighborhood Association, talking to them about our appeals process and things like that. In a way, that's up in the air because our model may be changed, but mainly it's up in the air because the Neighborhood Association can't get enough people to staff its board to stay operational. And so we're at least it's on hiatus at this point, so I haven't been able to do anything with that. Any other thing on Positive Connections or training or ride-alongs? I think other people may have received this as well. We had asked about the training that the officers are getting, you know, the ones who are kind of coming through the academy now and the new officers, and we were given a complete schedule, which appeared on my calendar. So it looks like I'm a very busy man day after day after day, but it was quite interesting to see what the training sessions look like and how extensive they are right at this period. And I think partly that reflects a lot of new hires and people getting their initial training and coming out of the academy, and but you know, we at least know what's going on in the training in a general way. So, any other anything else under Positive Connections or training or ride-alongs? General comments by public and member of the staff, and I will remind you that individual members of the public are allowed 3 minutes to address the board. Representative groups will be allowed 5 minutes to address the board, and I think, Stephen, you are our timekeeper for this. And so are there any comments, first of all, from the general public? Is there anybody who would like to make a comment?
Chris Jones, speaking on behalf of Hold Como Accountable, I'm requesting my 5 minutes, please. I was unable to attend last month due to an illness. However, right prior to the meeting last month, some of you know that for 2 months I had been trying to get information from the police department and from our city council regarding an incident that happened regarding a suicide and the police inability to respond, how general public thinks that they should respond. I had been sending messages, I'd been speaking at council, reminding them for 2 months straight that I needed it. I was repeatedly told that I would be getting the information within days, and it never happened. Until right before the last CPRB meeting, which unfortunately I had to miss. And the message that I got, even though I had been told for 2 months straight that I would be getting it soon, I'd have all my answers. The message that I received was a bunch of non-answers. They waited until they had an IA investigation on it, and so they told me, oh, sorry, can't tell you anything. Even though I had requested information within, I believe, 3 days of the incident happening. So what had happened is that a woman texted a friend, said, goodbye. Woman's a veteran. And as we all know from news reports, we have a very big problem in our country of veterans committing suicide. They're one of the largest groups of suicidal people. And when we have people who are suicidal, we tell people to tell somebody. Call 911. The police will help. They'll respond. Well, the friend got this message that said, but goodbye. And the police said, oh, sorry, not worth it. So I had asked a whole bunch of questions, and I had wanted to know why this woman was not helped, because the friend had called 911 three times, and each time she was revoked. And they did find the woman 12 hours later dead. This should have never happened. As the friend contacted 911 very quickly. And so in this, I had asked what the policy was in regards to suicides and other critical incidences. And I was told checks on individuals who are suicidal, sometimes called welfare checks, can have many different variables that may change the priority of the call and how it is handled. Example, is this issue happening now? We knew it was happening now. Who is reporting it? The friend who got the text that said goodbye. Is there a weapon involved? She was a veteran. Most veterans carry weapons. Answer was yes. Has the person taken some type of substance abuse or substance that may be harmful, such as too much medication, alcohol, illegal substances? I don't know. Is the person alone? The answer was yes. Is there a history of suicidal threats or self-harm? Don't know, but veteran also does indicate that says that probably more likely. And do we know where this person is? The answer is yes, we did know. Can we communicate with them directly? They didn't try. Can we communicate, wards and neighborhoods do not have any impact on the prioritization of calls? We all know that's a big fucking lie.
1 minute.
For several years now, in response to requests from CPT, CIT training has been provided when officers attend the police academy. So officers start day one with the job with this training. CIT training is not required to respond to a call. However, this is largely irrelevant as CPD officers have been CIT trained for many years. I know for sure this is not a true statement of fact because I've asked officers, and we have many officers on staff who are not CIT trained. They do not receive regular updates of CIT training. They are not racist ready. We are having an epidemic. We've had two major suicides where that has been well known in the press, and both ended in death. Both involved people calling the police. One was the person. This has got to change. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Any other comments by members of the public? Members of the board?
I've got a comment. Yeah. You know, to not to keep going over something that we've gone over at length here, but It really is disappointing that our state legislature decided to take the action that they did, because I tend to believe that the Constitution is important and that making sure that the people who are who are supposed to enforce the laws, who are in the executive branch, to make sure that they're acting ethically, to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do, is important. And I don't struggle to understand why what happened happened. When I went to the NACOL conference, we heard from some speakers in Tennessee who talked about similar legislation that was actually a little more aggressive than what we've gotten. But that essentially dissolved them in Nashville. And they realized that really there was not a lot of negotiating to be had with the state legislature and their state, because fundamentally there was not a belief in civilian oversight. There was not a belief that government needs to be watched at any level. And I disagree with that. It really is really, really, really kind of disheartening that we're going to have to figure this out and where we go from here as a board. But I wanted to say that, like, it's a shame that there's not, like, the same perspective on the importance of the Fourth Amendment, the Eighth Amendment, the First Amendment, just our Constitution, just, like, what we owe to citizens, and that's, like, effective law enforcement. And, you know, we'll figure it out. But, you know, it's really a shame that the legislature didn't take this seriously.
And the comment that I want to make is along the same lines, that in a world in which there cannot be appointed bodies appointed by local government to do this sort of oversight, then citizen input may very well become a question of hearing from people who think that the police can do no wrong on the one side and people who believe that the police can do no right on the other side, because they're heavily invested. A balanced discussion and balanced feedback is obviously very important to quality improvement and trust inside the community. And we have worked pretty hard, I must say, as a board, and really successfully in achieving that sort of balance. And it would be heartbreaking after struggling to get to that point to see things go away. So we ought to do what we can to preserve what we can. Comments from staff? Anybody? All right. I'm never very good at this ceremonial language, so I'll do my best. I will entertain a motion to go into closed session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law, section 610.02.2114 and 590.502. RISMO. The board will meet in conference room 2A for a closed session. Do I hear a motion to go into closed session?
So moved.
Steven? Second.
Second, Xavier. All right, I think that's a voice vote, as I recall.
Roll call vote.
Roll call vote. Pardon me, I meant to say roll call vote. Okay, so Denise, we have to have a roll call vote on going into closed session.
Are you
You're
yay
the first
or nay?
Voter. Yay or nay? Yep.
Yes.
Harry?
Yay.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Yay.
Doug?
Yes.
Xavier?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Steven?
Yes.
That was a unanimous vote, it appeared to me, and so I believe we are now adjourned from open session and going into closed session in room 2A.